All right, so everybody has taken their wellness assessment and we are ready to start the course. So it should be no surprise that we're going to start with food. Food is foundational, right? So if we want to take a new twist off an old saying, I heard recently that food can be your very best medicine or it can be your slowest form of poison. You know, and I think that there's some truth to that when we look at the way people eat today, a lot of processed foods, heavily refined foods, a lot of sugar, a lot of salt. There's a lot of foods that we eat that really don't nourish us. There's an interesting statistic from the Centers for Disease Control that roughly 25% of Americans eat the recommended daily intake of fruits, and about 22% of Americans eat the recommended daily intake of vegetables. That means a whole lot of us are not getting anywhere near the fruits and vegetables that we need in our diet. One of the things that I really want to focus on in this piece of the course is talking about real food, about real food. This is what real food looks like. If you want to get on the Dr. Oz show or on the CBS News at night in January, what you want to do is write a new diet book, a new food book, something with a new twist. This country is absolutely obsessed with new diets, new fads, paleo, vegan, there's pegan now. I mean, there's just always something new that we need to try. I heard it said once by Dr. David Katz, there are a million ways to eat bad and Americans are exploring every single one of them. I think there's some truth to that too. If you want to get back to the basics, you know, I think it comes back to eating food as close to nature as possible. One of the reasons I love going to Europe, particularly France, my family went to France a couple years ago and we spent the Christmas holidays there. And I loved that we would go to these little cafes or these little restaurants on side streets and we'd stop in and you would get your meal and you would sit and have these, you know, 2-3 course meals, you know, with the vegetables and usually some sort of meat. And maybe a dessert, everything in small portions, everything delicious, and blissfully absent on the menu were numbers of calories, grams of fats, you know, is it gluten-free, is it dairy-free, is it non-GMO? There's just so much today that we've done with food that take us away from actually experiencing the joy of food. So when you look at something like this and you look at salmon, now clearly, salmon's kind of expensive, right? So you can't eat salmon all the time. But if you talked about basically a perfect food, wild Alaskan king salmon is some of the most nourishing food you can have, rich in omega-3s, great in healthy fats, great source of protein, very good for the cardiovascular system. Here we have eggs. I have hens, so for me, eggs are a part of our diet. Eggs were good, eggs were bad, eggs were good, eggs were bad. Now they're back on the good list again. But you know, eggs are a wonderful source of protein and choline. They provide B12 as well as a number of other nutrients, and they're inexpensive. So while meats and fish are more expensive forms of protein, eggs are good sources of protein and relatively inexpensive. Of course, berries, we start probably 3 meals a week with berries in the morning, especially when they're in season. We buy frozen organic in the off season, but we really enjoy berries. Berries are powerhouses of fruit. And so blackberries, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, putting those into your diet is a great way to, you know, get all those nutrients that can be really difficult to get in other places. Broccoli or cruciferous vegetables also includes Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, etc. All of these contain compounds that actually are big cancer fighters. I mean, so they have the ability to help us be able to detoxify things in our body. So adding those cruciferous vegetables are great, and don't overcook them, right? We want to eat them a little bit more on the raw side. I'm a huge one for garlic and onions and chili peppers. My family would attest that I cook with them excessively. We probably eat 1 to 2 onions a day and 4 to 5 cloves of garlic. We eat a lot of these allium vegetables. Also, talk about things that are great for the cardiovascular system, for cholesterol, blood pressure, and they make everything taste so good. Tomatoes, nuts, olive oil, ginger, kale, tea, whole grain breads. I mean, this is basically out of our kitchen because these are the things that we eat in our house. This is our foods that we consume. In this piece of the course, I want to really myth bust. I want to break through the headlines, and I want to talk about real nutrition and what the science says. So we're going to go through what I call the nutrition prescription. And it's going to lay it all out. So what are fats? What are proteins? Where are we with all, you know, carbohydrates? What is a FODMAP diet? Why are so many people sensitive to gluten? We're gonna break that down and apart. And I think that you're going to come out on the other side with a deep appreciation for whole foods and which foods really are probably best for you and your family. Then I want to transition over to another one of my favorite topics, which is spices. One of the reasons that I love ethnic cuisine, and I have a lot of cookbooks, you know, Indian cookbooks and Thai cookbooks. I love Italian cooking. The things that a lot of these ethnic types of cuisine have in common is that they are loaded in culinary herbs and spices. I mean, not only do they make your food taste good, but they also are zero calories. They don't add calories to the food, and they are loaded in health benefits. So I'm going to take you through a tour of my favorite spices, how I use them, what the health benefits are, and give you some quick, easy tips for how to integrate them into your own family's food system. And speaking of family, I also want to talk a little bit about the importance of mealtime and sharing food with friends or family. You know, one of the things that many of us grew up with in our own lives was family mealtime, you know, either breakfast or dinner. And today, we're so busy. Everybody's off running around doing things that the family mealtime has really shrunk. And actually, research shows that many, many, many families do not even eat one meal per week together, like sitting all together. So we're going to explore a little bit some of the science, some of the research, and just some of the common sense that comes along with people sitting together and sharing food together. And last but not least, I have been challenged to open up my pantry and share what is in my pantry. So we're going to do that. We're going to go through and I'm going to take you down and just show kind of what do we keep out here. Now, you got to remember, we live an hour from a grocery store. So we do buy things more in bulk and kind of stock up. But maybe this will give you an idea of what our family keeps in our pantry. And we're going to keep it real. We left the Pop-Tarts in the pantry, all right? So, you know, you're going to see that our family is not that different than yours. You know, we're all just doing the best we can with the foods that we love. And my challenge for you is for you to try a pantry makeover. Go in and look around, see what you've got, what's missing in your cabinet. And we've given you a good download also that you can have that maybe you can take to the grocery store and help you get the things that you need so that you have everything you need at home for the foods that you want to create.